Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Hardcore Listing. It's Top 5 Whiskies with Rob and it's part 2. So if you haven't listened to part 1, sort your lives out. Why are you here? Go back and listen to part 1, Maniacs. If you've just come straight to part 2, that's just because you're wrong'uns and you just know that we're already probably 3 or 4 whiskies in by now and we're starting to talk nonsense. You're not wrong. Please enjoy part two of this episode of Top 5 Whiskies with the wonderful Rob and Christopher. And I enjoy 76. Drop the intro.
It's a drunken soiree in the Within.
Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listing, the podcast.
What's the next on your agenda, mate?
What we got? Right, yeah, here we go. Teelings. Have you had Teelings?
No. Nope.
Never.
Preparing for a tree. Teelings are class. So these are a pair of brothers who owned, well, their dad owned Cooley Distillery, who was making Connemara.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay. And then in 2011, 2012, they sold off Cooley and they negotiated the sale and 16,000 barrels of whiskey from Cooley Distillery, and they opened up Teelings because it's the brothers.
Amazing.
Yeah. They started it in 2012 and they built a distillery in Dublin in 2015. And it was the first distillery built in Dublin in 125 years. And they've got a range of stuff now. They started small with this small batch stuff, but they've got a huge range now. And they actually have a single malt, and their single malt won the best single malt in the world, 2019. And it's the first Irish single malt to win that award. So, class brand. The two brothers who own it, I interviewed for a job. They didn't give it to me, but I'm still going to give them a shout out on the podcast.
Yeah, for sure.
The boys are class. They know their business. I think it's a pretty cool brand. And should I give you a taste of it?
Let's have a blast of it. I love the idea of negotiating a sale that comes with 16,000 barrels.
Yeah,
no,
right, it's good, isn't it?
Thank you, buddy.
16,000 barrels.
Well, it's quite fragrant.
Yeah, so this is finished in a rum barrel. So it's way more spicy than most Irish whiskies.
You get that straight away.
Jesus, the dregs of it.
Incidentally, how much did your bag weigh when you was carrying it?
Oh, yeah, I think the bag was about to break. So that's why I was giving a huge dram, so I don't have to carry it all home.
you can smell the rum on that.
So it's a blend of four to seven year old whiskies.
Right.
As I said, finished in rum, and then it's quite light. Like you get a lot of I get a lot of summer fruits from it. A lot of vanilla. I think it's briefly put in a bourbon cask, which brings out the more vanillas. A bit of caramels, and it's just delish, I think. Oh, and actually, the blend has a cheers, boys. More single malts in it, so it's quite a malty whiskey as well. Do you like it?
Yeah. Wow.
That's my favourite.
Yeah, this is my favourite out of bunch as well. I love this stuff. Next time you're in Dublin, go and do the distillery tour. It's class.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And this stuff's readily available. So, I think it's only
Teeling.
It's only like 30 quid a bottle. So, you know, Don't go for the proper 12, go for the tealings. And it's good. They've got... so this stuff is actually from the 16,000 barrels, but they've now got... they've now got a new variation that's the first Irish whiskey made in Dublin. They've released it. It's only 3 or 4 years old. And it's only out the last couple of months, so should go looking for it. So it has a blue label, and it's class. It's top class stuff.
When you say the first Irish whiskey made in
Dublin,
in
100 right, years,
wow,
yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Because obviously they built a distillery in 2015, but they have to wait the 3 or 4 years for it to age
before it kicks out. Yeah,
yeah, and it's real good stuff. They also have a class single malt, as I said, and they also have much older stuff. I think from Cooley Distillery that they brand as Teelings, and it's real good stuff. At one stage, actually, they owned some 20 year old whiskies in a barrel, but it wasn't enough to sell as like a Teelings brand.
Sure.
So they released it to Lidl, and Lidl were selling bottles for like £50 a go, and like for that whiskey, it should have been a couple of hundred quid. So people were going into the Lidl, and they were only allowed to buy one of them, and it sold out in like 36 hours.
Like. Things like that have happened in Lidl before, where there's ridiculous runs on Lidl products.
Aldi got the best rum in the world last
year. Did they?
Yeah.
And like beer wise and wine wise, I get all mine from Aldi.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah. That's what you should do. Yeah.
And it's just some really good wines and really decent beers.
Their whiskies have won awards as well. Yep. Their whiskies are class. They have a lovely bourbon. Aldi and Lidl, both of them. Right,
okay. The Aldi one, Western Gold.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, 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 yeah.
I've had a few dirty nights on that.
And it's it's kind of stuff that you don't mind throwing in cocktails. And
yeah, of course.
Stuff as well. So
yeah,
it's grand. Yeah. Like, yeah, I love those whiskies from there. Yeah, yeah, they're class. But yeah, all the bills from there. It's nice.
So Teeling's not taken blow my socks off yet?
Hasn't it? No.
No. There's notes in that that I'm not as keen on.
No,
I'm not too sure what it is. I'm not too sure what it is.
You've had a green spot, do you?
Yeah, 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 all day long. I don't know what that is. I can't put my finger on why it tastes. I can't even tell you the notes that I'm not as keen on with that.
There's a slight more burn from it. That's what you might like.
There is more of a burn, for sure.
The first sip I had, I made my decision on the second sip, because the first sip, the fire come through my nose.
Oh, really?
And I felt like a dragon. I thought, is that smoke coming out of my nose? But then the second sip,
I got,
and I was like, that's the one. Yeah, and now it's this.
To be fair, though, sometimes my favourite things aren't like your first taste, is it?
Yeah.
It takes a little while to sort of like for you to build up that enjoyment of it. But
I'll tell you what, next time I come on, I'll bring the single malt, or I'll bring the Dublin one.
Yeah.
And you'll love that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because this bottle's a couple of months old, so I'd say the air has gotten to it. Sure. It's a bit more mellow.
Man, I'll definitely give that a try.
Yeah, yeah.
You mentioned a minute ago there, Stu, just to take it away from whiskey for a second, about you've had a few dirty nights on those whiskies, but it also reminded me that you had a bad day yesterday.
I did, yeah.
Oh, yeah, what happened?
Tell us about your bad day yesterday, mate.
Do you know what? I was reluctant to tell this story, but seeing as I'm now out of my fucking mind at 5 o'clock on a fucking Monday afternoon, I don't give a fuck. So my neighbour, he's very, very elderly.
Mm-hmm.
And
vulnerable.
She's vulnerable.
Just how you like it.
Perfect.
She's vulnerable, yes. And her telephone's very loud because she's deaf.
Yeah.
And I got woke up by my daughter yesterday morning saying that the neighbour's phone had been ringing for about an hour.
Oh.
And I thought, okay, right, I best get up and have a look.
Yeah.
And got round there and the curtains were all drawn. And she's a churchgoer, so she's normally at church on Sunday morning.
Yeah. This sounds gloomy.
And, so done the bellowing through the letterbox, nothing. And then the other neighbour come out and explained that he'd also been knocking. He'd called a locksmith. Locksmith turns up, struggles to get in. He had some cool shit. I'd never seen a proper locksmith in action, but he had this thing that held the letterbox open, and he had like all these kind of gadgets.
A hand. He had a hand.
No. But he had like all this weird shit with like little mirrors on it and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, I'm loving this. It was proper cool shit. And but he wasn't getting very far with it.
Sure.
So, you know how shit I am at DIY.
I've never seen you at work. I'm only by your
I explained to you when you got here that the reason there's a bar here is because when we bought this house, it was a workshop, and I have no need for a workshop because I'm shit. But I was a window fitter for a short amount of time. So I happened to remember where my window fitting tools were.
Sure.
Thought, oh, is this when you felt up the granny?
No,
exactly.
This is
nothing to do with his window fitting days.
How many of those podcasts have you listened to? And you would have remembered that one, wouldn't you? Fuck me.
Have a try. Touch on that. So basically, yeah. Quick rundown, in a nutshell, it's Sunday morning, yeah. And there's a vulnerable granny available.
Sharon rubs his hands together. Yes, that was my moment.
Not seen a nudie granny for a while. Just to draw a line under what Rob said, completely cleared of anything regarding the the elderly one when I was a window fitter. But I managed to do what I needed to do with the window to get in. And at the point where I got it out, the locksmith went, "Yeah, I'm in, mate." And I was like, "Oh, for fuck's sake, now I've got to put this back." No one particularly wanted to go through the door first, so I was kind of pushed to the front of the queue, and I was like, "Oh fuck's sake!"
I'd have been straight in there, mate. I'd have been in there with a Polaroid.
You don't want. So yeah, nothing in the bedroom, and I thought weird. And
it's weird, you went straight for the bedroom.
But bless her, couldn't get out of the bath. So she'd got up at the early hours to get in the bath, and her legs wouldn't get her out. So
you did see a naked granny?
No, I didn't see a naked granny. She was
plenty of swords.
She was smart. I mean, she was really smart because she kept topping up the hot water, releasing the plug till all the hot water ran out. Then she managed to reach the towels and wrap herself in towels. But when I got her out of the bath and put her back into bed.
This story writes itself, mate.
So I put on Marvin Gaye, and then but then her hearing aids were by the side of the bed, so I was like, so that's why you couldn't hear me shouting and blah blah blah. So but not the greatest start to a Sunday, having to kind of retrieve your neighbour from a bath.
It's better than the alternative, wasn't it? I was like, there's going to be a dead body at the end.
That's
of the story.
I've got to be honest, that's what I thought I was about to see. Yeah. And the kids were like, "Are you sure?" I was like, "Stay there, don't come in.
You don't need
to be seeing that yet.
Give me 30 or 40 minutes."
Fucking hell.
But well done. You've done some really nice things. Like, you have saved lives before. Like, I feel like everything I'm going to say is going to be a piss.
Of course it is. It's your go-to default setting.
You have done some nice things, mate. It's a nicer Sunday than most people would have done, was rescue dead aunts. Rescue grandmas from the bathroom.
I'll tell you what, though, right? That was the thing that I thought was quite nice because lots of neighbours were all being involved and trying to help and things like that. And I just thought, it is nice that there is a little bit of community there.
Yeah.
And it weren't just a case of like, "Oh, someone tell that fucker to stop fucking phoning whoever is ringing that number."
You answered it was a PPI call.
And But so it's a great start to the day.
Oh, mate.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Have you rescued any grands from the bathtub, Rob?
I haven't, thankfully. Thank God.
Have you ever had a moment of heroics?
Oh, you're putting me on the spot here.
Come on. Don't be shy.
No. Nothing heroic,
No?
No.
What's the most heroic thing you've done, Glasson?
I've done nothing heroic, man. Shameful.
Shameful. How long you got? Shameful.
You wrestled that dog?
I did, didn't I? I stopped that dog getting murked by another dog. Yeah, that was. And it is weird.
I mean, that. Please retell this because it's the best.
Basically, I looked after my mate's dog for about a week when he was away on business.
Yeah. Small dog.
And it was a small dog. And on the last day, I thought I'd take him for a treat into the woods.
For a little snack.
To clarify, a little walk round in the woods. Nothing else. No funny games. And so basically, as soon as I let Fred off the leash, he ran into the field and there was no dogs there. And then literally out of a hedge came a staff. I didn't know, but by staff standards, it was quite big. Mm. I didn't know any of this. I didn't even recognise the breed. And as I closed the distance, the guy, the owner of the staff, went, "Don't worry, he's friendly." I went, "Okay." And as I closed it more, I saw it was a staff. And I was like, Fred, get here. And Fred started running to me. But I guess about 3 metres before he got to me, him and the staff was running alongside him. The staff switched.
Yeah.
Dived on him, grabbed him around the throat. And I thought, oh, bollocks. And I dived on the staff. And so did, in fairness, so did the owner.
Yeah.
But between us, we couldn't get the staff off it. Like, you just don't understand that the muscles that they've got.
Jars,
like,
right?
Yeah, yeah, man. Yeah. Like, and so we were rolling around and I was punching his staff as hard as I could, which isn't that hard by all accounts. But, you know. And
pay attention to the rolling around bit, because that's where it's all based.
Yeah, yeah. And well, when I was doing that, we were getting covered in blood. I was putting my hands in the staff's mouth with the other guy to try and pry his jaws apart. It won't happen. That's where we all got cut.
Yeah.
And I, to get the staff to let go, I literally had to fuck it. and then, weirdly, because I didn't know, but a friend of mine said, you should have put your finger up his ass. If I'd have known that, it wouldn't have taken that. It'd be the first thing I did.
You went against your instincts there. Like,
the dog's ass, yeah.
Exactly. So I basically got my thumb, because we couldn't get the staff off, and put it in its eye.
All right, yeah.
And I had to push its eye into its socket. And my thumb was up to the hand for a couple of seconds before the staff reacted.
Yeah.
And thankfully, thankfully now, because I didn't really want to do that after. I don't want to blind a dog it's part of it is it's, you know,
nature.
It's had a nature. It's had a bad minute. Mm-hmm. Or whatever.
It's a bad minute, you fucking it.
No, that was his best minute of his life. So it turns out that Fred's bleeding. It's not, my mate's dog isn't dead, but the fucking staff. If we weren't 3 metres from it, it would have ragdolled it. If we were 10 metres, we would have never got to it before it killed Fred. And when you're saying about bravery, I didn't think about the savagery of that staff, because I've not seen dogs go that crazy. So that isn't bravery. That was just, I just didn't think, I just did it. Like, if you'd have thought about it, or you've been in that situation before, I don't know how likely you would be to revisit what I was witnessing.
Yeah.
And I was rolling around on the floor, and I was thinking, my mate's dog is dying here, and there's blood spraying places. And I thought, fuck me. Anyway, we got really lucky. It let go. And then I had to take Fred to the vets, and literally my knuckle was busted, like where we'd been. So like my knuckle was out of shape. I bite a few bites, and we got into the vets, opened the door, and I was in a bit. I genuinely was in shock, and I shouldn't have driven. Like, no, in retrospect, I definitely shouldn't have been driving. And all the vets it was busy, and they all stopped and all looked round at me, and I was just like, a dog's been attacked, and they took Fred off. And he said, yeah, let's have a look at Fred. And they took Fred off, and I just sat down in the vets, and I was kind of like a little shook up. And then someone said, do you want to go and get cleaned up? And I was like, well, yeah, all right. I'll go and have wash my hands.
Yeah.
And when I was driving to the vets, by the way, I wondered what this smell was. And I really thought it was like the smell of a staff, like that, you know, like fur and that of dogs.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, it turns out when I got into the toilet of this vet's, where I'd been rolling around, I had fox shit all over me. And it had something about married my hair. And it had like fucked up my beanie and pulled my hair into like a spike of fox shit. So yeah, that was a moment of, I wouldn't say bravery, but yeah.
That's a moment of hilarity.
I love it.
Hilarity, yeah.
So you have to save the money shot till after the drama. That's the best bit. Oh, superb.
Where are we? Number two? We've done two.
Well, so we're on to number one. So I need number one for you, and then I have a little treat for you if you fancy after.
Sure, yeah. I'll be happy. Definitely. I'll be happy to engage in that. Shall we do it? Shall we go there?
Yeah.
I'm still on the
is that not the bells?
Ceiling.
Oh, it's not the ceilings, is it?
No,
it's the ceilings. No,
yeah. Ceilings in the mug.
Yeah, sorry.
The bells is in the mug. You can use that to clean your bike chain or something. Ain't you, mate?
Oh, that ceilings is fucking brilliant.
Yeah, mate. It's class. It's proper. Chris isn't convinced, but we'll get him next time.
I don't know what it was.
I've got to be honest, I do love a daytime drink. It's one of my favourite little parcels. I've done that very often.
We did top five breakfast the other day.
Did you have them in a row?
Spoiler was my number five was alcohol.
Oh, it was, wasn't it? Yeah, an airport breakfast.
Airport breakfast.
Okay. Jameson. I mean, let's not. Yeah. Everybody knows what Jameson is.
Yeah.
If you don't know what Jameson is, I don't know what to say about you.
Yeah.
They're not listening. If they don't know what Jameson is, they're not listening by now.
Our listeners predominantly are alcoholics.
But this is. Have you tried this? It's the casks, mate. Casks, mate.
No,
stuff.
I've seen it. Yeah, I've not tried it.
Yeah. So this is what I love about Jameson, because like a lot of the other brands of whiskey, when they start messing with their whiskey, it ends up. Because they do small runs, it ends up being way more expensive. Mm-hmm. But Jameson messes with their whiskey, infuses new flavors to it and whatever.
Sure.
And then still cheap enough that you can buy it and have a try of it. And also it's Jameson, so you can come home and you can just, if you've had a bad day, you can throw back Jameson. Or if you just want to sit in front of your box set or whatever, you can also just have a Jameson. Yeah. It doesn't have to be the centerpiece at night where maybe like a Connemara or a Green Spot, you might have to like sit there and have a think about it. You know that kind of
thing?
You can just like knock away at this. So this is the IPA edition. And what's his name? Smokey Woodboy. He'd love this.
Smokey Woodboy. Ah,
nice.
Shout out to Smokey Woodboy.
It's so good to hear someone else say that.
So Smokey Woodboy would love this stuff because it's your Jameson. So you have your bit of nuts, your bit of florals, your bit of fruits, but it also gets the hoppy kick and the more citrusy kick from the IPA barrels that it's been finished in.
Wicked.
So what a treat.
Yeah, it's a delish. So
it's quite dark, isn't it?
It is quite dark. Yeah, I think it's it's just from the IPA barrels that finishes off. But most Jameson, I think, is like 4 to 7 years. Thanks, so.
It is, and Jameson was my number two.
Was it?
That's good. Yeah, for sure, man. It's my house whiskey, and just like you say,
exactly. Yeah,
yeah.
Can't go wrong.
You can't go wrong with Jameson. Yeah, I like a Jemmy.
Bushmills, shout out.
Bushmills was my number three, and it was amazing value. It's so good. It's so cheap. If you buy it, find a Bushmills, have it. Cheers, dude.
Cheers, boys.
Cheers, boys.
Thank you very much, mate.
No worries.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
So yeah, Roy.
It's ridiculous. That's
fucking ridiculous.
It's delicious. That's so good.
Yeah, it's good stuff. There's also there's a stout edition, which is class as well. Yeah. Oh, so if you love an ale stout, get the stout into you.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Oh.
I think maybe smashed the glass.
You've had enough, mate.
Yeah. Oh God, that. Don't worry, it was only. I was worried it was a glass. It's just our video camera.
That's cracking.
Yeah, it's good. Good little whiskey, isn't it?
That's super. You get the IPI vibes in that as well, don't you?
Yeah, so.
Wow. Absolutely wow.
Taking another picture of this, yeah.
We will grab a photo, all of them.
Yeah.
But I've noticed my speech is slightly slow down. Hold up.
Yeah. Can you tell you a little bit about Jameson as well? What's that?
Please
tell
do.
You a little bit about Jemison as well.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm probably getting more Irish. I'm probably getting more Irish. Yeah.
Go for it.
I've noticed that since I moved over here. I have to try talk slower.
Does it, does it come out more when you're drunk?
Yeah, the more excited I get and the more beers I have, the more I revert back to
the motherland. Yeah.
Subtitles are available.
Yeah. One of my mates in work actually tells me he understands, he doesn't understand about 15% of what I say and just laughs at me when he doesn't understand. And I'm like, yeah, okay, okay, fair.
I do that with some of my mates who are just English.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant. Brilliant.
Oh, shoot.
So, Jemison was... started in the late 1700s by, again, a family in Dublin. But it was actually a Scottish guy came over to Dublin and he was like the general manager of Jemison, of what it used to be before Jemison. He was Jameson.
Right, okay.
And then he bought it and renamed it John Jemison's and Sons. And, yeah, as I said, these were in the 1800s. They were like the number one whiskey in the world.
I can't believe that figure. I think you said was it 18 million? 12
million,
or 12 million, fucking million bottles.
Yeah.
In, because you can't think of that, like you wouldn't think of mass, that's mass production, isn't
big
it?
Time.
You can't
yeah,
think
yeah.
of that in, no. in those times. You'd think that was a 19th century construct,
yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm. And it was all by hand, like, you know what I mean? So yeah, yeah.
God, fucking hell.
That's so
that really
nice.
Is great.
It's just your standard Jemison, but it just gives it a little bit of a kick, right? I like it.
Yeah. It doesn't deviate too far, but if you've drunk enough Jameson, you definitely can tell.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that could be my favourite.
Do you reckon?
Yeah. That's definitely challenging, even Greensboro. It's funny because they were all so strong. As I say, weren't a fan of Tina, but all the others, Connemara was fantastic. So is Redbreast. But Greensboro and that version of Jameson's is bloody brilliant. It really is. And I will have to give a blast on the stout as well, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Grab a stout. They're available in Sains or Tesco, wherever. Look,
I think we're coming close to the point where we can do a hardcore listing live day, which is just all
a
our
session.
Favourite alcohol. Like, if it's IPA whiskey, I guess we'll have to get like a gin or a rum expert on, won't we?
Oh, do you know how the last 5 or 6 years the gin, there's been a big, huge gin boom?
Yeah.
That's actually in part due to the boom of Irish whiskey.
Really?
Because all these distilleries that open, you can't sell whiskey for a minimum of 3 years. It has to be 3 years, 5 years, 7 years.
Sure.
So what do they do in the meantime?
Okay.
They make gin.
Right.
And that's part of the reason why gin boom has been
really?
So big in the last 5 years. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's really weird you say that, because when we went to lots of distilleries and stuff, and we've done our road trip in Scotland.
Yeah.
And obviously... it's a massive part of their culture and their tourist trade is flogging whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
Every place we went to had its own gin as well.
Yeah, because like you can make gin as soon as it's cool, you can sell it, but you have to wait with whiskey. So it's a good way to earn a bit of cash while you're waiting on the whiskey to mature.
Turn around.
Yeah.
I guess it's more profitable gin, isn't it? Because you can turn it over quicker.
Yeah.
That is fantastic. So, when did you get into whiskey? How old was you?
Have we had this conversation?
We briefly had it. He was like, what was you drinking?
Well, it would have been like 2011, 2012, so.
Yeah.
22-ish, 23?
22, yeah.
31 now, so.
Yeah.
Getting over the hill.
And you've never left it. So what's London do for you, mate? Other than working, what are you up to around in
and
these parts?
What's your ideal night out in London?
Honestly, boys, I just rather have a couple of pints or a few whiskies and a bit of a chat. Much prefer that rather than like going hard.
Having
it.
I
love getting hammered with the boys. I'm not really a man with the clubs or anything.
Yeah.
I'm partially deaf.
Yeah.
So if I go into a club, I can't hear anything. I can't hear
I can't hear conversation.
Exactly.
I'm not sure how deaf I am, but definitely conversation really doesn't.
Yeah, and
work
I'd rather just have a chat.
Yeah.
So, but like London, it's so hard to say what like your perfect night out in London is, because it's so much weird shit. Like I'm always doing like the secret cinemas or, those like weird themed dinner nights and that kind of crack. So I love all doing that stuff.
Yeah.
Well, like while I can do it, because like,
it's
nothing like that back in Dublin. You get the odd bit and bit.
Well, I love that about, well any hub in cities, but London, like you do get those theme nights or any theatric thing. You're a huge fan of them, mate. You've probably been on more than me, but... those sort of things are just
they're
amazing,
class, right?
aren't they, man?
Yeah.
They're just really experiences.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to I'm not going to lie, I loved raves and the clubbing thing, but I can't do it now, man. I just
you broke your secret cinema duck last year, though, didn't you?
Yeah, I did Romeo and Juliet, no, and I fucking went in on it. It was class, as well.
That kind of stuff as well, you really have to commit. You can't be a cynical fuck about it. You just have to buy into it. Just buy into it and go. 100%. It's class. Wasn't it great?
I did my revision and that, and I looked at the movies. I spent a lot on my outfit, and I did look really sexy, Stu. I'm saying that and looking you dead in the eye there.
That's ringing a bell.
sexy?
I think you might have walked past me.
Really?
At Romeo and Juliet. Were you wearing like some red clobber?
I had a red velvet.
Yeah, waistcoat. You did. Look, you annoyed. Did. You
looking
did.
At,
oh, no, not the phone.
I'm sorry, I was just laughing at it. Look, dry it with my jumper.
All right, dude.
Yeah, I'm sorry, mate. Oh. My first... Okay, for everyone listening, I've just spilled a pint of water over Stu's drink. The first thing I did was pointed at him and laughed.
I'm so sorry. I've not seen that top yet.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, bonjour.
Very stripy.
Oh, Stu, sorry.
That's all right.
I really am. I was wearing a red velvet waistcoat.
Yeah, I think you walked past me, and I was like, I think that's Chris from Hardcore Listening.
No,
because you were wearing some red clobber, and in my head, I just went, leprechaun sex pest. That was just what was in my heart.
That's what that was the sexy. That's the sexy I meant. Leprechaun sex best.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, no way. Yeah. But it's the same night. A cracking movie. I thought they.
I got some
criticisms of it, but I thought how they presented the movie and acted the movie was absolutely fucking brilliant. It really was. Yeah. I felt a little shortchanged before the film. Because I felt like the walk around and that, like we didn't get into House Capulet,
and we tried, man. Yeah,
once we got through the queue, they had me stood up shouting to about 50 people as soon as we got through there. You know how they split them off and whatnot. And I'd being a nerd, had memorised all the sayings and all that other shit. And then we did it again, and I was in some kind of dance-off with Molly in front of about 200 people, and we still never got a ticket. And I was like, I really tried to get into that little side show.
The bit of it,
The actual main part of Romeo and Juliet was absolutely...
It was class, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was. Well,
are you doing the James Bond one?
Is that what's next?
Yeah, it's Casino Royale.
No, I haven't got a ticket yet. Are they still on sale? Or?
I think they've actually just released a new bunch, so yeah, you should have a look.
Yeah.
I like them. I don't... Yeah. What's that other one?
28 Days Later.
No, did you done that one? Did you? Was that good?
Yeah, amazing.
Was it? Yeah, no, yeah. I done the one that's set in Paris.
Moulin Rouge.
That would have
been spectacular.
That was class. Yeah. That was great.
My missy's done that one, and she done the one you went to.
Yeah.
But we done. What have I done? Empire Strikes Back was so just off the scale. Yeah. That was ridiculous. But 28 Days Later, for an adrenaline hit.
Oh, yeah. Was that just zombies chasing you, was it?
So you queue up outside, and I was with Big Papa Joe and his missus and Carol.
Yeah.
And you're just standing there, just queuing up outside, not imagining anything's going to happen because you're just not in the experience yet. And then all of a sudden, six zombies come over this fence and run at the crowd.
Oh, really?
And then the riot police come out and just take them down. And then they're just screaming, "You fucking run!" And then... before you've even done anything, you're inside the building, pitch black, running down these corridors, and the corridors are caged either side, and there's just zombies smashing the cages. So before you've even, within a minute, your heart's beating through your chest, and you're like, you're completely, involved.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. But I'm trying to think what everyone's we done. She done Dirty Dancing. That was meant to have been amazing. Mm-hmm.
You did weird. Deep, what was
you
the
did deep throat,
that?
Didn't you?
Done deep throat. Yeah, there weren't many people there for that one. No, it was just me and your
mum. I made a lot of money out of that one.
it's one of them things that you like. I'll tell you what we've done. What's that sci-fi film that everyone loves? I think it's boring.
Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Something Blade Runner.
Yeah.
I'm gutted that I couldn't go to that.
Yeah. It was raining inside. That was quite cool. Mm-hmm. But apart from that, I drank too much.
Yeah.
As did my missus, and we both fell asleep in the middle of the film. I think we both had a conversation about just how handsome Harrison Ford was at that point, and then both fell asleep.
Yeah, fair enough.
I was thinking, we ain't Han Solo.
It's a natural thing to do after you.
If it's not Han Solo, or if it's not Indiana Jones,
yeah, you don't want to know. Yeah,
I'm out. Yeah. I'm out.
Did you ever do the Drowning Man? Have you ever heard of that?
No, what's that?
It's like a theatre production where they it's a big mansion, and you go to each room, and there's actors in it, and you go round of your own accord, and you can discover more of the story of this performance piece.
It's that pagan thing you do.
What's the pagan thing?
The Drowning Man.
All right. All right.
Yeah, no, it's really good. I'd like to do more of these immersive experiences, but I think that this is how we started. What would you like to do for, you know, how do you, what's your perfect Saturday night? I love that. And I do prefer like chatting more now than like,
It depends on like the mood, because like sometimes after like a rugby match on a Saturday, I love going down to the rugby club on a Saturday night and just getting absolutely off my face. That's great as well. Like it just depends on your mood, right?
Because
sometimes on Friday after work, I couldn't be arsed doing anything, so I just want to go home, have a curry, and watch Graham Norton with a few beers. Depends what you want to do. Like, but the great thing about London is that there's just always something on. So like, whenever you're bored, you can go and find something. Like.
Have you done a locked in a room experience yet?
Haven't done any of them. I really, really want it. I really, really want it.
They're deep. You just missed glass and locking the door to the bar. They're dope, aren't
they? They're amazing. We've got tickets. I've got to make sure they've not expired.
Holly messaged me this morning. When are you guys ready to do it?
What's it for?
She's the one that done the zombie apocalypse that Carol and Pip done.
I must say, like digging Stu out, he looked really cool that day. Yeah. Like, he had this big long waistcoat and this shotgun. He did look like a dude. He was pretty cool.
But it was, that was the one in the disused shopping centre, in Reading.
Yeah, that seems cool, really.
Fuck me, man. You're in a fucking shopping centre and there's zombies chasing you and you've got fucking machine guns.
Oh, that is
ridiculous.
I've always kind of said that I'm all right with there being a zombie. I'm okay with 50% of everyone I know dying if there's a zombie apocalypse, because I think it'd be such a laugh. I don't think like there's a downside to a zombie apocalypse for me. I'm kind of like, I didn't cause it.
Yeah.
I'll probably go first, though, to be honest with you.
But that was one of them ones that the minute you see a zombie, there's no ifs and buts about whether you're going to find yourself immersed in it.
Yeah.
You're like, fucking go. And like, and you're just like, you're in straight away, aren't you? And like, it's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, well, that's like, because like in Ireland, in Dublin, I mean, there's only 4 million people, 5 million people in the Republic, and maybe, 6 million on the whole island. So like, there's just not like the volume to do that kind of weird shit.
Yeah. Say them stats again.
So there's like 5 million in the Republic, and I think like 6.5 million in the whole island, so Republic and North.
So North's literally got a population of...
I think it's only like... Well, I mean, I don't want angry Northerners tweeting me,
You're about to properly join Hardcore Listening here. With some real guesswork.
I think there's like 1 to 2 million.
Cool. Like, so there's really? Only like, I did not know that.
Yeah, I thought it was bigger. I've seen the UK, there's like, what is it, 65 million, 70 million?
Too many.
So like, there's just a volume.
Oh, easy Brexit.
I was wondering why you're wearing a t-shirt that says, I hate Irish people. It's so weird.
Coming over here, taking our whiskey and our jobs.
Chris Farage.
Oh, that is amazing. I'm just saying in general, in human beings, I don't care what human beings, I just want most of us to die. Oh shit, I didn't realise there was that many, fewer people in Ireland.
Yeah, exactly. So you don't really get that sort of...
Yeah.
Like, if you do, it's definitely in Dublin. So, like, I'm fine because I live in Dublin.
Yeah.
But it's also, like, very, like, limited runs. You'll get it for, you know, you'll get that stuff for, like, a week or two and then it moves on.
Do you know what? The weird thing about these escape rooms, what I love about them, and if you look at the, like, so when we went to Ipswich and we saw the family who had done it there, family run, some people who want to do, who are good at DIY and a bit creative with their thinking, are creating these rooms that you can go in and explore. Like, they're not that... The sunk costs I don't think that market is saturated by any stretch of the imagination yet, and I think it's going to continue to grow.
Mm. They were a lovely family. Like, I mean, they're on Facebook. Fred and Rose.
really good bunch.
Smashing basement.
Not all of us. Great basement. We didn't all leave, but we think they're just still trying to solve it, right? It was family run. I think there's a lot of room for growth in that, and I think that if they're not out there yet, Rob, in Ireland, I think you don't need to commit too much to create escape rooms. Honestly, I'd recommend it, dude. I really would.
Yeah, I really have to get them. I can't wait to see the glass and escape experience.
The glass and escape. Yeah.
Happens every weekend.
I would love to do a puzzle.
Can you get out of the women's toilets at the book club in Shoreditch? There's a predator called Chris. He's had a lot of Amstel.
Dangerous predator. Yeah. What's that one where they make food for a date and they come over? It's not First Dates. Is it Come Dine With Me? No, it's another one.
Come Dine With Me?
Dinner Date.
Dinner Date. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
There was a guy on Dinner Date the other day and he was going to sample the girls who were cooking for him. And he
sampled the girls. Sample the girls.
Come here, sweetheart.
he said he was a food critic, this guy from Wales. Amir was this guy's name. He's actually signed to Global, I think, or something like that. He works with Global. This guy said he was a food critic, didn't know what a tort was, didn't like caramelised onion, thought the idea of onions that were kind of sugary and sweet didn't make any sense. Pretty much only liked sandwiches. Yeah, he went on. She was saying, yeah, he knows that. Oh, he was fucking awful. And now, because I'm drunk, I can't remember my point. So, who's gonna
podcast gold right
podcast
now.
Gold.
Oh, it's gone. It's completely gone.
You were talking about dating programs on telly.
Yeah, no. Oh, yeah. one of his things was something along the lines of, what is your favourite movie? And he said Predator. I just don't think you should say Predator when you're dating a girl.
That's a word that you can leave at home, isn't it?
Leave it at home, yeah. It's a great movie, but just don't say the word Predator.
Oh, I brought a girl on the first date to that Spartan movie, the 300.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Amazing.
Boys, don't bring a girl on the first date to that movie.
Was that
I'll tell you
a
that.
Big mistake?
Yeah, it didn't go beyond the first date. Because I was loving it. I was like, yeah, this is class. No, as we were leaving, I was like, did you like that? She was like, And I was like, oh, all right.
Terrible experience.
About 20 minutes later, I realised there was so much blood and heads flying all over the screen. Literally. I was like, that was not a first date movie at all.
Yeah, definitely not. When you're standing there, every time someone gets killed, you're like, yes, yes. Yeah.
And so I've got to be honest, if I took a girl to watch that and then went back to hers, the last thing I'd be doing is taking my shirt off. Them dudes are ripped, man.
Yeah.
When you talk about those ultraviolet movies, I remember a month that The Raid came out and also Rambo 5. And me and Pip went into
London. Love the fact
London.
You just said Rambo 5.
Rambo 5. It was decent, actually. And me and Pip went to watch The Raid in London because I don't think it was showing in local cinemas. And it was just a bunch of dudes who were massive martial arts fans watching it. And pretty much any time someone got killed, people were standing up going, yes.
Cheering.
and the final scene, which involves a bit of an luminous lightning bolt being pushed through someone's throat, people were standing up and clapping. And I think even me and Pip were like, that was pretty brilliant. Yeah. Definitely not first date material.
Oh, brilliant. So is there one for the road?
There is, but I think we might actually need to take a pee break for it.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
You don't need to stop it yet, but I'm going to make the best hot whiskey you'll ever have in your life.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. So it's getting a bit late. I only generally have them between like October and like February, because that's when it's cold, so you it feels good.
Yeah.
But what I've found since I've come over here is that nowhere does a good hot whiskey. In fact, I was in a pub in London that were making hot gins, and I went in. I was like, instead of a hot gin, can I have a hot whiskey? And they were like, what? What's a hot whiskey? And I was like, the exact same thing you're doing with the gin, just instead of the gin, put the whiskey in.
Switcheroo.
And they're like, no, we can't do that. And I was like, what is this? Like, what is this? So it's impossible to get a good hot whiskey or a hot toddy. Whatever.
Hot toddy, yeah.
Yeah.
It's impossible to get a good hot toddy in London. Impossible. Well, and they do it rubbish. Because like what you're meant to do, right? You're meant to get a good lemon.
Sure.
Slice it. Absolutely load it with the...
Your mind's gone blank. My now mind's as well.
Blank now
the
as
whiskey
well, yeah.
Mind blank.
My whiskey mind blank.
Lemon?
No. Cloves. Sorry, cloves.
Right.
Get a bit of honey and then get your good cinnamon stick. And like even a bad whiskey, I'll take a bad whiskey if it's just like a bit of a sugar and a bit of lemon. Because like a bad hot whiskey or a hot toddy is better. It's still a good drink. Right?
Yeah, exactly. It's still but a hot
over
toddy,
here,
right?
They just seem to refuse to make them for me and it really annoys me. So I'm going to blow your minds with the best hot toddy you're ever going to have.
Hell yeah, let's do that.
Let's do it.
Yeah, bit of a break. Lovely.
We're back.
We are back.
Good stuff.
So we had a little toilet break slash. And
and we've been brewing. Sorry, Rob's been brewing. What you brewed?
So here I've got the best hot whiskey you're about to ever taste, or the best hot toddy you're about to ever taste. So what you need to do, I'm pretty sure I've said this last time, but whatever. Get a drop of honey into your glass, pour in the hot water, make sure the honey dissolves into the water.
Yep.
Get a lemon and absolutely stuff it full of cloves.
Yeah.
Like a lot of places you go in Dublin will only put one or two in, maybe three, but no, you really want to go to town. Sure. Get your cinnamon stick. These cinnamon sticks are from Marrakesh, would you believe? Nice. So there you go, very exotic. And then fill the glass or cup with water and top it off with... Irish whiskey. I prefer Jameson because just Jameson's going to complement everything. But
accessible.
Whatever you, yeah, exactly. Whatever you want, top it up. And then drink away, boys. Cause
well, I'm not joking, mate. That smells... Well, Shoe's missus, Carol, said this smells like Christmas and it bloody well does. There's many a time...
That is shit up. That is absolutely lovely.
Oh, thanks, Rob.
I've made better ones.
I don't know, mate. That's really bloody good.
Oh god, yeah, that's really.
And you have put a little, like you've cut a lemon and you've done a slice of lemon. We cut it in half, and then in every little segment of a lemon, you've punctured it with a clove. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 cloves in a slither of lemon here. I am pissed. Yeah. I can't
if there's not enough whiskey in it, you can top it up there, but. Do what you want, or maybe you had enough whiskey. But yeah, as I said, very hard to get in London. Yeah, I find hot whiskey or hot toddy very hard to find. Even in Dublin, they can be a little bit tricky. But if you want to go for the best one in Dublin, go to Peter's Pub just off Grafton Street. That is the best hot whiskey that you can get. That is not Peter's made by yourself. Pub. Peter's Pub just off Grafton Street.
I can't remember anywhere we drank when we was in Dublin.
Neither can I.
I know when we went to...
Where did we perform?
It used to be called Pravda. It used to be called Pravda when I was...
It was a mad venue. There was lots of like levels to it. And
just over the Halfpenny Bridge, wasn't it?
That's it.
To be called Pravda. I can't remember its new name now.
And, it was wicked.
But yeah, that was a fun night in there, man. That was really fun.
Yeah.
And we did go to a pub beforehand where Pip didn't drink, but I think me and you did have a few. But the night before was great because it was Pip's gig, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. And so there was no expectation on us. We popped out and guested on East for 10 minutes, then just got overexcited at the fact that Blind Boy's mind was blown that we were from Essex and we grew up listening to The Prodigy. And so that was it. We were in. And that was such a weird thing because obviously in the UK, pre-podcast, like, the Rubber Bandits aren't a particularly well-known thing, are they? Like in the UK,
I wouldn't say so. No,
but in Ireland, they're very well known, aren't they?
Well, Blind Boy definitely is. The Rubber Bandits are, but Blind Boy himself is particularly well known. Yeah, I mean,
and it was quite strange going out because you're with him, but no one knows who he is.
Well, that's because he wears a bag in his head because he looks like a mentalist.
Carrier bag, he was cracking, wasn't he?
Was that good? Was he?
Nice, yeah, man.
Is he all right? Is he all right?
Yeah, he was sound. Absolutely.
He's listening to his podcast.
Yeah, I love it.
It's deep shit, isn't it? Yeah, like you want to
smart boy.
Yeah, he is. But you need to take an hour to listen to it. You know what I mean? You can't be doing much else because Saying a lot of stuff. Yeah, he is very intense. Yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah.
a lot to chew on.
Oh yeah, you don't listen to podcasts, do you?
Right.
I love the fact you've listened to enough of these to know this shit. I love it.
I feel so bad. Like I've listened to a couple of off the beaten tracks, which I really liked.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But not enough to know if Shoe slags me off on it.
Oh right, okay, yeah.
Which because that's the thing. Like I listen to it, going, I wonder if Shoe's going to go. Chris wouldn't listen to this. He's a cunt. I listened to the Liam Howlett one talking about Prodigy, which is possibly my favourite podcast of all time. And that really is it. And my girlfriend is constantly like, listen to this. And I'm like, I've got to listen.
I think Blind Boy will be your vibe. Yeah. I think you should listen to him. Mm. I mean, it's a heavy listen, but it is good.
I really like that. It's like reading. I like what you're saying there with his podcast. Is a kind of like reading. Thanks, Shu. Yeah. When I like a book where you might have to read a few paragraphs and then just chew on it for a bit.
Yeah, yeah,
that's like it makes you think a lot, isn't it?
It's good because I don't agree with everything he says, but like it's good to just hear those opinions so you can run it through your brain and see what you think.
That's a weird thing in society today where you can't, you feel like
if you disagree, that
means you don't want to hear it. Like I think we don't get smarter if we don't listen to what each other's got to say and don't start finding. It's not like middle ground, but finding like points of each other's argument, which makes us smarter as a whole. So, yeah, definitely. I don't think that's a reason not to listen to something is to disagree. There's I don't listen to podcasts, but I watch fair enough YouTube stuff, which is still debates.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of debates on there. And do you got anything to say there? I said the word debate. Do you want to add any word to that? Quickly, do you want to throw it in?
One more whiskey and I'll be all over that.
That's what she said.
Have you checked out? There's a new podcast that I listened to last week. It's called Gossip Mongers.
Oh, mate.
And it's David L., Brian Gittins, Joe Wilkinson, and Poppy. I don't know what Poppy's second name is. And they get people to message in or ring in with old school gossip. And it's that gossip that you just think, someone at my school done that. So one of them is like, some of the ones is like the girl that put dog food on her beaver and then got the dog. Like Natalie, I wouldn't say the name then. Like at my school, done that, and obviously never done that. But like that was the rumor that she put dog food on her beaver. Mm. And then there's ones like that. You know, the bloke that wanked so hard he pulled his helmet off. The twin brothers, the twin brothers. That were the best climbers in the school, that when they got to the top of the tree, wanked each other off, but no one could ever prove it because they couldn't climb as high as the twins. obviously they're both on fire at the moment because of Afterlife, Joe and David L. Yeah, and like, it's fucking hilarious. And it's just them dicking around at just stupid urban myths, basically. Like, and I can't recommend that podcast.
We should do the top five urban myths.
Yeah,
that'd be class. Yeah, that'd be very good.
Oh man, yeah, Gittins and Earl are fucking genius. Afterlife was great because I think it did a good job of, especially with Gittins wanting to be famous and wanting to be in the paper.
Yeah,
I can't even remember. I laughed so hard that it made me forget what he said about the octopus. I can't remember what he was saying.
Getting fingered by an octopus.
Oh yeah.
So good, man.
Have you watched it?
I have, yeah. I just watched it last week. I think it's great. Gervais just always looks like he's having the most fun ever. Yeah. He's not even acting at this point, I don't think. Yeah. He just looks like he's having the greatest crack. And like I like watching that. Like, you know what I mean?
Living the dream.
Yeah, he's just trying to make himself laugh. Yeah. That's all he's doing. Because you know the bit when he's with his dad who has Alzheimer's?
Yeah.
And he says this like really nice thing and then his dad just goes, gay.
and then
Gervais cracks his whole laughing and I'm just like, that's just Gervais laughing. Yeah. That's not acting, like you know what I mean? Yeah, I was like, that's funny, like that's funny, like
that scene where
is it the pedo kid?
No, that was the one that I saw on the trailer that I thought was hilarious.
Yeah, exactly. That sold it to me.
That nearly killed me. But also, can you imagine? I would not let my child be the pedo child. Yeah. For the rest of his life, he's going to be the pedo child.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? When he's 30 years old, people are going to be like, pedo child. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, no way would I like
say that. But I mean, I don't know. He'll change. He'll look different.
he'll still be ginger.
He'll still be, he'll still be a ginger pillow.
I mean, like, what's Chunk doing now from the Goonies? He's a fucking lawyer.
Yeah.
Chunk from the Goonies doing a truffle shuffle.
Yeah, but
well, there wasn't anyone up in the stand who didn't go, my defense on that is do the truffle shuffle. I know if I was doing hard time, that's exactly what I'd have said.
You can guarantee his mates are still telling him to do the truffle
definitely.
Shuffle. You know what I mean? Like,
definitely.
He's still being rinsed about it 20
years
later.
I guarantee when his missus has got the red panties on, she's like, come on, Chunk, bust that shuffle. Like, I'll give it to Mama.
Gives a shot of your truffle.
Ernie's missus is Sloth. Sloth loves Chunk. Oh, Jesus Christ. This is getting out of control. Hot toddies are amazing.
They're amazing,
Rob,
yeah.
How
I change your life.
You've smashed it out of the park with that, mate. You really have.
I'm not a fan.
That was simple. You just got to know the combination.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not a fan of a mulled wine.
No,
I don't. I'm not into it.
I'd rather a hot whiskey.
Yeah.
And these yolks are dangerous though, because you could have 3 or 4 of these and then you're on the floor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're dangerous, but they're delicious as well. Very Christmassy, as I said. You need to keep them for winter. We're getting a bit late in the summer now to be.
That's all right. That's all right. Have we got any out of date mints? But we got some out of date Twiglets. Yeah. That's still got some Christmas brand in it.
Are these the ones you offered me? I swear to God, Rob, he offered me Twiglets about 5 weeks ago.
These are what Van Boon bought round, and I believe they're still well in date.
No.
They are. 7th of the 9th, 19.
Do you understand once you've opened the silver foil, they start going out of date?
Oh, there's that, yeah.
Yeah, because these are like soggy cardboard.
They're a little bit chewy, aren't they? We literally, Luke Van Boomen is up his game. We are in April, but.
Did you just say Luke Van Boomen needs to up his game? We're out. Luke?
Come on,
son. Up your game.
No, I can look over there and there's still 4 packs of dry roasted peanuts
on the
board.
I didn't even see him hidden under the hat.
Yeah. The scampi fries went last week. We're God back to buying our own snacks, Luke.
Yeah, yeah.
Unbelievable. Oh dear. Right, Chris Glassham, favourite whiskey?
My number one, actually, weirdly. So Jameson's my number 2.
Oh, so on your list, before we get to
Rob's. Yeah, okay, so my number one is a whiskey called Dalmore.
Yeah.
Which I believe, is that Scott?
Yeah, Scott. Yeah, yeah.
That one is like, so if I was to say Bushmills and Jameson is my like house whiskey, if I can get it Bushmills, I'll always buy it because it's cheaper. But it's really good, and it's kind of, it's not better, but I just kind of like it. Dalmore, if I had a few more quid throwing around, that would be my house whiskey, because it's smooth, easy to drink, and beautiful. But having said that, now, Green Spot might have taken that.
Yeah. Green Spot, solid.
Honestly, so mine out of yours was Green Spot.
Yeah, good stuff.
What are you shouting, Rob?
I love Teelings. I love their brand. I love what they're doing in a whiskey space. In any case, give me a job. I like the brothers, so I'm going to go Teelings.
I'm drawn between Teelings.
Drawn or torn?
Torn.
Oh, did you like the IPA?
I really like that.
Yeah, it's class.
Yeah, actually, I forgot about that.
Yeah. So when you were just mocking me then, fool, what you actually meant was, I'm too stupid to remember that. There you go.
Thanks for helping.
That's all right. I'm going to go Teelings because I didn't think it tasted like any of the others. I thought it was
a little bit different. Yeah.
I like everything about Teelings other than the flavour. I know that sounds weird, but sometimes you support something for the movement.
I'm like that with Tommy Robinson. I like his outfit. I like his hair. You know, he's got good skin, smashing stubble. Unfortunately, he talks shit.
I was wondering why you're in so many of the pictures beside him.
Calling me a racist earlier.
He's just got a good look.
Britain, thirsty.
This won't make the cut. Fucking hell.
Rob, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah,
mate.
Boys, it was class.
Absolutely,
let's do it in a few months. We could do a top 5 Scottish, top 5 bourbons. Let's do it, boys. Yeah, it's class.
Thank you so much, bud.
Cheers, boys.
There you go. This is where the podcast ends for you. Unfortunately, that's not where it ended for us. We then went to the pub.
And it wasn't the, I don't know. We decided, we got talking about Guinness, obviously, with Rob, because he was talking about Dublin and drinking. So you can't talk about Dublin and drinking without not talking about Guinness. So we decided, why not? Seeing as it was only 6:30, 7 o'clock, let's go up the pub and have a couple of pints of Guinness. I think we'd worked out that in the process of the maybe 90 minutes, maybe a little more of recording this podcast, we'd probably drunk, I reckon we drank over 1/2 pint of whiskey each in 90 minutes. That's quite a lot for the body to process. That intake of alcohol was the reason that it seemed like a really good idea to then go and drink a bucket load of Guinness down the pub. And it was after doing that that Chris decided then it was a good idea to ask the guy in the kebab shop why he was hiding when all he was doing was sitting there doing his crossword, and then start rapping. I'm as someone that works in the nightclub industry, I'm very familiar with people having a good time and thinking they're the funniest person at the party when they've had 1/2 pint of whiskey and several pints of Guinness. Chris was no exception. Needless to say, it was borderline Craig. He's a very silly boy, and I took immense joy in making my anxiety the following morning ease substantially by finding out just how bad. My conversation with Chris the next morning started with, I can hear my heartbeat in my head. Idiot. Sorry, I've butted in yet again. I just want to quickly tell you about this magazine. It's called Pod Bible. Now, Pod Bible is the new essential guide to podcasts. It's put together alongside Spotify and Acast, and it's a one-stop shop to tell you all about the podcasts you maybe know about, but definitely about a load of the podcasts that you probably don't know about that we think you should know about. I mean, in the first edition, there's interviews with Adam Buxton, interviews with Craig Parkinson, there's features on Jade Adams, and there's just an abundance of information about so many exciting podcasts that are out there. Also, Spotify have given us these amazing little codes, so if you do get a print copy, you can just turn on your Spotify on your phone, scan the little code, and it just automatically opens up the podcast on your listening device. How good's that? If you haven't managed to get a print copy, then just go over to www.podbiblemag.com and read it online, because the digital version is all over there and it's all free. So every other month there'll be a new edition out. So go and have a look and support us on the social medias as well. Podbiblemag.com.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listing, the podcast.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.